Welcome to Banking on KC. I'm your host, Kelly Scanlon. Joining us on this episode is Mary Esselman, the CEO of Operation Breakthrough, a nationally accredited not-for-profit corporation that began in 1971 by Sister Corita and Sister Berta. And they started that as a response to requests from parents in the Central City for quality childcare for children of the working poor. Welcome to the show today, Mary.
Thanks for having me.
What is Operation Breakthrough? What does it do? I know it's expanded over the years.
All right, well, as you mentioned, it was started by two nuns who were teaching on the east side of Kansas City, and a couple of parents came to them and said, hey, we have no one to watch our children while we're at work. And the sisters thought about it, and they thought, you know what? We've got this, and we've got space. And so they started out with four children. And before you know it, the four turned into 40 and turned into 400, and then recently actually expanded to close to 700 children and families. We're actually the largest early learning center in the region. And I think what makes it really unique is the fact that we include education, social services, and health for the children and families that we serve.
So you take a very holistic approach to the child.
Exactly. It's really two generational. We're not just working with the kids. We are working with the whole family. And that's one of those mission components that was there at the beginning and is still there today. I think the sisters really understood that what happened outside these doors was just as critical as what happens inside the doors. And so what you find is every family that enrolls in Operation Breakthrough were organized into neighborhoods. They're not geographic, but basically places where families build relationships from the time their child is a baby all the way through the time when they leave us at age 14. And each of those neighborhoods has a licensed social worker who we call a family advocate. There's a child and family therapist who works with families, and then obviously the teachers who provide the early learning education and as children go off to school before and after care.
One of the things that I recall, we talked about the two sisters starting this in 1971, Byron Thompson, past chair of Country Club Bank, played a role in that. Can you tell us that story?
That is actually a great story. In fact, it's highlighted in a book that was recently published by the Kemper Family Foundation called Angels with Angles, The Rogue Nuns Behind Operation Breakthrough. And I think the story of Byron would probably fit. It's actually in chapter 8 of the book. But basically, the sisters, once they started to run the school independent, it was called St. Vincent's, independent of the church, they really had to raise money. And so there was a gas station that had been run by St. Vincent's Church, and the lease was up, and the sisters thought this would be a great way for us to earn money for the school. And so, you know, they thought we'll just go get a loan and this will be our way of raising money. And so they, of course, you know, they started making the rounds, and no one was too keen on lending the sisters money because they just had no history. They had no credit. And they finally got to Byron when they went in and explained the mission and what they were doing. He said, you know what? The bank can't loan you money, but my wife and I will. Mm-hmm. And that was the start of a relationship that's gone on for nearly 50 years with Country Club.
What a great story. And so they bought the gas station. And as I recall, they were able to use that and they got the kids. They were starting to teach the kids skills by having the kids work at the gas station too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Not only were all of the staff pumping gas, but the seventh and eighth graders helped pump gas. They had to do the accounting. You imagine all of the real world skills they were learning. And there are a couple stories, you know, where it was in a difficult part of town. And so there were a couple of cases where there were a few challenges they encountered, but what a great story.
We've talked a little bit about the holistic approach that involves two generations and that you don't just treat one thing. You try to look at the whole picture. So talk to us specifically about some of those programs that you offer.
Well, children started Operation Breakthrough as young as 6 weeks. And once they enter, as I mentioned before, they enter into a neighborhood. And that's where we start looking at school readiness the minute a child enters Operation Breakthrough, because there's a whole set of developmental milestones that we're going to be looking at over those first 5 years of life. We're very conscious of the fact that most of a child's brain development occurs during the first 8 years of life. So we know that oftentimes those experiences children might have that are toxic can be made tolerable by the support systems they have in those early years. And that's really the role that Operation Breakthrough tries to provide. We have a Children's Mercy Health Clinic on site in which we're making sure that children have all of their health needs met. We have licensed social workers who are really working with families to really build their protective factors. That's everything from concrete supports that a family needs, like housing, food, helping them find jobs. All of those things become critical. The more stable a family is, the more likely children are to develop and hit those developmental milestones. Mm-hmm. We also have a full clinical team that involves child and family therapists. And not only are they working one-on-one with children, they're also working with parents and then really closing that loop. There was a study that was done a while back that was basically a study that was trying to define kind of the root causes of obesity. And what they really found in the study, it was called Adverse Childhood Experiences. They found that many of the adversities that children experience when they're young end up causing different kinds of social determinants of health as they grew older. And the average number of experiences that are adverse, such as having an incarcerated parent, being a victim of violence, a witness to violence, separation from a parent. I mean, there's a whole list. The number of individuals nationally that would experience four or more is roughly 13%. At Operation Breakthrough, over 45% of our families have had four or more ACEs. And what makes it significant to look at is typically if there's no intervention, then a parent's ACE score will likely become their child's ACE score. And that's one of the things we try to do is provide that intervention so that doesn't happen. And so that's where our family therapists come in. So they're able to really work with families who have strong adversities. When I think of our families, I think of the fact that they tend to come from some of our most under-resourced neighborhoods in the city. And in many ways, there's a lot of vulnerability. But I also find our families to be some of the most resilient. Mm-hmm. About 15 years ago, Sister Berta started a bus tour. She called it The City You Never See. She felt it was really important for members of the community to have an opportunity to see what it was like to raise a family in poverty. And it was never intended to be a tour of looking at kind of woe is me, but really the resilience that it takes for a family raising children in poverty. And I think that's one of the things that we see with our families. 70% of our families are working, yet their average income is only $1,000 per month. And so those are some of the things that we're working with to help increase stability. We want families to start needing us and leave not needing us.
You know, you had talked about the four children that started out back in 1971 with the child care program, and now it numbers in the hundreds of children. You've had to expand physically as well to accommodate the growing number of children and their families that you serve. And you recently took over the old Jones store. Talk to us about that expansion, why you did it, and how that is allowing you to continue your mission even better.
Oh, absolutely. One of the sisters' greatest wishes was to serve more children. They saw the waiting list. At some points, it was at least 1,000 children. If you didn't get in as a baby, the next chance was when your child was in preschool. But what was happening is we would work years then to prepare children for kindergarten, and then we would have to say goodbye because we just didn't have space in our before and after school program. And so one of the things we wanted to do is we wanted to make sure that every child could stay with us longer. And so by purchasing the Jones store, it allowed us to add over 300 more seats for our school-age children. And it also allowed us to add additional classroom space where the school-age program had been originally situated. And that was huge for us because the ability to keep families moving forward, I think in many cases, involves making sure that their child has that safe, quality place before and after school. And we're actually seeing it in the data. When you look over the past 4 years, we've sent over 90% of the children to school ready, And we've seen their achievement keep pace with that. When we look at our kindergarten to second graders who would have been in the first three groups, we see them, 93% of them are still reading at or above grade level.
Wow, that's incredible.
One of the things that we did is we really started to focus on early STEM. And so we added a makerspace in our original building and a robotics lab for the preschool children. Currently, we have a program there. They're called Tinkering, Making, and Engineering, where we're exposing kids to all kinds of problem solving when they're, you know, as young as 3 and 4. I can remember one of our first projects this year was, how does an architect know what to build? And so the kids learned about blueprints. They actually designed buildings. They got a chance to build them. And I know their culminating engineering project in that particular challenge was to rescue Rapunzel from the tower with the aid of the prince.
One of the things that having this new space here in the old Jones store has done is that it has allowed you to bring schools actually to the children.
Exactly. We didn't want it to be empty while all of our before and after school children were at school. So we actually have 4 local schools that bring their 1st, 2nd, and 5th graders in to do their math and science through a STEM approach. So they come in and do hands-on activities in all of the different labs. So imagine if you're a first grader studying sun, moon, and stars, and instead of just reading about it in a book, you're doing projects in the arts lab, in the robotics lab, the makerspace, in the teaching kitchen, or the life science lab. We also have freshmen and sophomores from De La Salle High School who come in 2 mornings a week, and they do career exploration and entrepreneurship. So it's been really amazing to just watch how it totally engages kids when they have these opportunities, as well as their excitement each day when they get off the bus and their ability to come every week.
What great work you're doing. You're building a foundation for these individual children, which will serve them throughout their lives. And I mean, it's transformational for them, but it's also transformational for the city. In building a foundation for the children, you're also building a foundation for our community. What else does Operation Breakthrough do to make Kansas City a better place that maybe people don't know about?
Well, I would have to say, given the moment we're in right now, it's been amazing to just look at how much we've been able to respond to the current crisis as we've had a shelter in place. Just in the last 5 weeks, we've been able to, through the help of the community, pass out over 50,000 pounds of food, hygiene products, and toiletries. And that's really about the community banding together with us. So when I think about us making the community a better place, I think about, you know, over the past 50 years, the community has really looked at Operation Breakthrough as an anchor for serving families. And it's allowed the community to figure out how they can kind of share in that growth of the families that we serve. In addition, like right now, we're one of the few centers that's actually open in the city. We're providing care for all of our families that are involved in the health industry. So whether they're home health aides, they're nursing assistants in the hospitals, or working with companies that are producing medical devices, we just increased by another 10. So we're serving about 80 children right now. And so I think that's one of the reasons we're able to make Kansas City a better place. But I think Kansas City makes us a better place because we just see a vested interest in people sharing their talents with our kids. We have individuals that come in weekly. We have over 200 volunteers that spend at least an hour a week here reading to children, working with children, running our clothing closet. I mean, just all of these different areas. We have nursing students who come in and push into classrooms as part of their practicums. All of those things, I think, make Kansas City a better place because the children we're serving today are the future of Kansas City tomorrow.
You mentioned earlier, Mary, that there are multiple ways for Kansas Cityans to interact with and to become involved with Operation Breakthrough. Can you tell us about what some of those opportunities are? And if there's any that you are particularly looking for, tell us about those as well.
Well, I'm going to start with volunteering. I mean, what better way to support our families than volunteering? And there's so many ways, whether it's pushing into a classroom, working in our clothing closet, helping provide food and other resources for our pantry. I mean, there's so many ways you can do it on site. One of the things, though, that's been interesting is we've realized that sometimes it's hard for people to be able to actually get here to volunteer. So as part of our Twilight STEM programming, we've decided, well, what if we take away that barrier and we push into companies? So we just finished a 5-week session at Burns and McDonald. And basically, we took kids out to the company and they recruited engineers to do a 5-week internal competition where the kids spent 4 weeks with the engineers programming robots. And then we had an internal competition on the 5th week. And the beauty of that is not only did they have 8 engineers that volunteered to participate, they have 60 on the waiting list. And we're getting ready to do the same thing at Garmin, where we're not going to maybe do quite as many technical, because with the pandemic right now, we're going to try to do something remote. But we've been developing different challenges that can be done by just a regular business person or an engineer, but it gives us an opportunity to give experiences to our children that have mentoring as a part of them.
Any other ways that Kansas Cityans can support Operation Breakthrough?
In addition to volunteering, we often have a wish list on our website, which gives people the opportunity to donate. We actually have a young professionals group, which is called the OB Network, where we're trying to foster monthly giving, just $10 a month, and different community-based services, which has been growing. I think they now are up to close to 150 members, which is exciting. And once a quarter, they do a give back. So there's different ways. I think the best way is to reach out to our volunteer coordinator or check out our website. Both of those have all kinds of ways. Like right now during the crisis, we've been posting educational resources that we need to make our kits each week or food items that we need. And it's been amazing, the response that we've gotten from the community.
So go out to operationbreakthrough.org, take a look at the different programs, take a look at the different volunteer opportunities. You know, you could just continue on that tradition that the sisters started 50 years ago.
Amazing.
Continue that tradition that the sisters started nearly 50 years ago. Thank you so much for all the work that you do for the futures and the foundation that you're building for these children, for their families, and for all of Kansas City. We really appreciate it.
Well, and thank you for having me. We have amazing families and we have an amazing team here.
This is Mary O'Connor, Executive Vice President for Country Club Bank. Our thanks to Mary Esselman for joining us on this week's episode to share the important work Operation Breakthrough is doing in Kansas City. My mom, Jeannie, and my dad, Byron Thompson, former chairman of Country Club Bank, recognized early on the importance of Sister Caritas and Sister Berta's mission and believed in their vision. Our parents not only shared that vision of a better Kansas City, they supported it at a critical time. Now, nearly 50 years later, the good work of Operation Breakthrough continues in Kansas City. At Country Club Bank, we still actively pursue that vision and unite with Kansas Cityans in supporting businesses, individuals, and causes that make Kansas City a better place for us all. Thanks for tuning in this week. We're banking on you, Kansas City. Country Club Bank, member FDIC.